Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. Today we're having a host who is speaking from the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo in Vancouver, Washington. She was a featured speaker there yesterday. It's my great privilege to have on the show Patricia Corey today. Patricia, are you there?
I certainly am. Hi, Christopher.
Hi. Well, we have a show today introducing the story Patricia is bringing forth now with a new book she has coming out. We'll be talking about that book. Many on the show today probably know of Patricia and the series of books she's done. We'll be touching on some of her background story with her previous books. Those who've been on the Cosmic Love website have read about some of her background in general, globe-trotting, swashbuckling around the globe from the Mayan temples to the Egyptian pyramids. And very interested in her story. Today she was on a panel of speakers on 2012, What Lies Ahead. Those who've been on Cosmic Love before know we've had about a dozen speakers on the subject of 2012, and very interested in what Patricia has to say, maybe some of the highlights today from her panel. And Patricia, could you give us a little bit on that note?
Yeah, well, actually the panel hasn't happened yet. We're going to have this panel tonight. Yesterday
right.
I spoke a little bit about 2012, and there's so much fear. There's a lot of anticipation, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and a lot of expectation. And so I'm doing my best to help people understand that we really are already in 2012, and it's okay. We're getting through this. But in my opinion, the date of December 21st is an indicator. But the truth is, the energies, the evolutionary process, we're knee deep in it.
Yeah. Well, I have an understanding that our belief systems of expectation and anticipation create a prayer field that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a good thing to keep the faith when people all around us are losing their heads.
Exactly. Well, in the material that I think you've read, in the Syrian material that I guess we'll be talking about, one of the primary messages is, you know, if you don't get yourself together here and clear out all of these miasms of fear and whatever, blockages, you're going to blow your cork. So now is the time to get clear and understand how you create reality. And, of course, we talk about this in our circles. But now it's time to really walk the talk.
Well, I think that's the momentum that's building.
Yes.
A lot of people waking up not only to their own highest and best vision of virtue for the victory of self and civilization, but they're waking up to, you might say, all these plots out of the dark side that are trying to keep people from waking up.
There's pretty much nothing the dark side can do to keep people from waking up. The planet itself is evolving energetically, as we know, and the vibrations are such that even the densest regions of the mind are beginning to vibrate at a higher frequency. So I think that what we're looking at in 2012 is finally the Age of Enlightenment, as we know it as the Age of Aquarius. But certainly, as I look around and travel around the globe and meet all these beautiful souls, unquestionably, there's a renaissance happening on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Cleverly disguised, of course, with some of the dark happenings that we're watching occur. And we're watching break down and dissolve.
Well, I understand that light, as it is magnified and multiplied as a force field, you might say, in the collective consciousness, brings up all unlike itself for transmutation. And as I understand this whole momentum into 2012, there's an acceleration of this process. And the acceleration to no time, zero point, to where the past and the future is, might say, merges in the infinite and eternal now, or the eternal presence, with a dimensional shift of energies, of, you know, quantum shift that is like a quantum web of light, or an antakarana, as it's sometimes called, that is a global phenomenon.
Well, we really are seeing ourselves moving out of what some people believe the fourth dimension is the, what I believe the fourth dimension is the next layer of consciousness where fault, where time as we perceive it no longer exists. And in answer to some of the fears people have about the Mayan calendar, the calendar runs out on December 21st, 2012, and a lot of people interpret this as the end of life. And what I'm trying to help people understand is, isn't it a beautiful metaphor for the end of time as we know it? And so I do believe that we are getting ready to shift out of the third dimension where this false sense of linear time disappears and we start understanding what it means to be, to exist in simultaneous time.
Okay.
I know, it's hard to get. I mean, phew, we are so programmed in this idea of past, present, and future that it's pretty hard for us to conceive of a reality of perpetually existing in a sense of simultaneous time. But really, it's just about being in the now every moment of your conscious existence.
Okay. So there is a dimensional shift going on, and there is a change in perceptions in the process, this whole alignment of our of galactic energies, and this is an understanding we've talked about on the show quite often before, that it is a quantum shift in you know, the energies in the quantum field of consciousness, which is obviously creating a lot of exceptional experiences for people all over the planet with losing time, having, you might say, gifts of the Holy Spirit, different types of effective sensory perception. And there is an awakening in this sense to a synchronicity, you might say, of understanding of a lot of the different points of reference to what is fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional. There's a lot of people connecting the dots to that, with that understanding in an intuitive sense. It obviously is going increasingly nonlinear, and I sometimes reference this process as assembling the components to the capstone, one of my favorite metaphors being the pyramid, which brings us to your book.
That was a beautiful segue.
Oh, I'm really fascinated with your story. I've been reading your book, I realize it's just about to be published, and I thank you for sending me an early copy, a PDF file, Where Pharaohs Dwell, and it really created a lot of flashbacks of this Egyptian experiences that you've had and the different stories there inside the Great Pyramid, inside different Egyptian temples. I mean, it's just amazing. It's that there is a thing of going back to go forward, and as the veil thins, there is, you know, not just remembering experiences from the past, but what I understand is future memory, and being able to see a remembrance of the golden age we're going to as a function of all the experience of the past and our highest and best insights, visions, experiences, and connecting the dots in terms of assembling these components to the capstone vision of what golden rule law language is and what a golden age will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting carried away here or what?
No, I'm loving it. You know, you're one of the first people to read the book, so it's delightful to hear your impressions of the information that's coming through that book. And certainly you know that I am a great lover of everything Egyptian, aside from the experiences of that are described in the book. It is probably one of the most active fields on the planet.
I have been fascinated with Egyptology, Donvella Melchizedek's books on the secret flower, and other books regarding the Egyptian coordinates, the starseed coordinates, I was particularly fascinated about the elongated skulls. I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
I hosted a speaker out here called name of Dr. Lawrence Kennedy years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He years ago was a friend of the curator of the museum there in Egypt. And he had a lot of information on the elongated skulls and shared with the curator of the museum there. And this was, I think, about 15, 20 years ago. And the curator took him and a few friends of his to a out in the desert to a tomb. And it wasn't like a pyramid. It was, you know, more like an underground that was all bolted up because there was so much looting of antiquities, you know, the treasures of the area during the Nazi thing. This was all padlocked and bolted with these giant locks, and they opened it, and he went inside, and there was a hieroglyphics, and his friend actually was former M5 or, you know, British intelligence. He had retired, so to speak, and he had a pinhole camera, and actually he got a picture of these hieroglyphics that had, amidst the hieroglyphics were saucers, you know, like UFOs, and the hieroglyphics read that that it was all in reference to, you know, the star people came and how we were their star seeds, or, you know, the whole story basically, which is really an amazing story.
There's unquestionably a huge connection between Sirius and Egypt, and this is throughout Egyptian history, there is reference to the Syrian star and the energies of the star system. The Dogon, of course, talked about the three stars, but nonetheless, Sirius is laced through all of the Egyptian mythology. And every ancient civilization, I think, has proof in the historical record of contact or collaboration with star beings. So what's exciting is that at this time, even though governments are trying to prevent us from being in these sacred sites, so many people are going to these sites and receiving and also activating the sites. And, of course, this is very true in Egypt.
Yeah, there's a what I call a holographic memory. With all the sacred sites, there's activation of this understanding and insight into you know, how we're all connected, and there's big drama going on here with the human evolution as this awakening connects us with this understanding, you know, beyond the narrow realm of space-time as we've understood it. And that, I think that process is really accelerating on this 2012 timeline.
It is. And in fact, I don't know how far you're into the book, but there is a lot of mention there of experiencing really where that veil is so thin that you do experience being in a higher dimensional state. How far are you into the book?
Oh, I'm down to about the last fifth of it. And that temple complex that was next to the ancient temple complex that was next to the
Abydos,
yeah. And I was reading slower and slower as I was kind of going into another reading, because it really, the book is a spellbinder. It's just it's an amazing book. And
That's good to hear.
The book is really, for me, it was a real activation, and I started having flashbacks in all kinds of dimensions of my understanding of Egyptology. And before we go into the book a little bit more, I thought I would mention, I was really fascinated with the series of the Montauk books, you know, the Montauk and the Montauk pyramids. And the story of the Montauk pyramids is one of the best kept secrets in America, but Thomas Jefferson actually went there. I don't know if you know that story.
And, no, I don't know that story.
He went with some other friends, researchers. They went to the Montauk pyramids. There in the end of Staten Island, the north end of it, or Montauk Island, or Montauk Point is. And they researched the language. They studied the language because he was really into languages. And They were the Montauk tribe was the 13th tribe of the Iroquois Confederacy, you know, all along the East Coast where there was like 13 tribes that are all part of a confederacy. Uh-huh. And the United States government, the model was originally modeled on the model of the 1,000-year-old Iroquois Confederacy. And the 13th tribe was like the 13th tribe of Israel, which was, you know, the Levites, which was the spiritual tribe, you might say. But this 13th tribe of the Montauk and their language was, Jefferson coded it. He called it the Pharaonic language of the pharaohs, and it was there was Egyptology coordinates all through it, and he had a huge amount of research on this, and he lost it all going across a river coming back. The boat swamped, and he lost all the papers on this. But the story of this and the story of this Pharaonic language and how this was the tribe, the spiritual tribe of shapeshifters.
Wow. That
was really fascinating. Of course, we know that shapeshifting is to be able to change dimensions and do basically, or you know what I mean?
You know, shapeshifting has gotten a bad rap by
it has
people
got
like
a bad rap, yeah.
You know, who are talking about the reptilians and how they can
shape
shift.
But,
you know, I think that we need to remember that we take that negative slant off of the concept of shapeshifting and remember that we're talking about altering matter, the transmutation of form, taking
right.
off all those negative connotations and just remembering that that is a capacity we even have. We have it if the real ascetics and the higher masters on earth, they know how to do that. And there's nothing negative about that.
It was the concept. Of course, the Indians had the thing of going up and becoming an eagle, or you know, being able to fly
exactly.
above. You know, and of course, the Hermetic philosophy has always been, you know, Hermes, messenger of the gods, was always been the ability to raise your consciousness to a higher spiritual frequency, basically in the image and likeness of divine love, God, whatever, and that ability. Greetings, everyone. We're back. We had a little station break there while we tried to clear up the signal a little bit. I don't know if we've been able to do that, but we tried a few different things. Patricia, you still there? Hello?
The waves that are interfering have cleared for me, at least. How about you?
Yeah, quite often when this happens, usually it's because we're onto something that's really good.
That's what I was going to suggest. You know, we're looking at the technical reasons, but most likely we've just got some flutterbys that are paying attention.
Yeah, a little opposition there. Before we took the station break, we were discussing one of my favorite subjects, and, of course, it's taken different ways, but as an Eagle Scout, a Boy Scout, to me, the concept of shape-shifting was always becoming that eagle and flying over, you might say, the perceptual field and being able to get the big picture of what's really going on and zero in on where to fly, go, or other and otherwise land. And the attitude there, or my perspective on that, was that it's not a person's aptitude as much as their attitude that determines their altitude, whether they soar with the turkeys or scratch.
I like that.
Soar with the eagles or scratch with the turkeys. my thing with shapeshifting has always been there's an upward mobile spirit that transcends the paradigm paralysis of stinking thinking. And the upwising and uprising that goes with that spirit basically arises above the stuckness. And what we're seeing a lot in the world these days is that there are forces that are scared shiftless that they're about to lose power.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are in an extreme polarity situation now, and this is why I like to tell people to think about the fact that we're already in the 2012 shift. and we're getting through it just fine. And if some of these old paradigms have got to break down, let's break them on down, because they don't work. They're part of the old, and we're moving to the new. And so some of this stuff has to go. And instead of clinging to it, desperately wanting it to stay up, like the government holding up these bankers and all these guys, when, you know, the nature of capitalism is to let it crumble and build itself back up. And this artificial sustenance of these systems, in my opinion, is, I hate to say the dark side, but let's say the forces that want to keep the power structure as it is. But it's not working. No matter what they do, it's not working.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people know that things are ordained to change, and I think it's important to keep that concept in the concept and perspective that this is the end of the time as we know it. It's not the end of time.
Exactly.
In other words, times are changing, and the times as they've been aren't going to be what times as they are going to be.
Right. Well, again, as I was saying earlier, time just going away, the whole notion of time, which is hard for us to perceive now, disappearing. You know, I recently spoke with Michio Kaku on my radio show, and he was reinforcing everything we're talking about in scientific terminology, saying that we are, he used actually a metaphor that I use, which is, don't be surprised in the new paradigm if you see a dinosaur walk through your bowl of soup.
Yeah.
Because as all of this conscious idea of different time frames breaks down and merges into a new way of perceiving, don't be surprised if this starts to happen. And he used the exact same idea of the dinosaur walking across your path. So what's exciting is that the scientists are starting to come on board the spiritualists. And this is very much part of a new paradigm being birthed, where we no longer have to have this separation in ideology. It's a very exciting time.
I think the best analogy I've found is that the internet has eliminated time and space. It's an instant, everywhere, interactive world now, and all knowledge powers that are Google fingertips. And so, if you know better, you can do better. And here's all this knowledge power of all this technology that's in the wings, that's been developed and still being suppressed, for free energy, for holistic healing, with ultramolecular energy medicine, with all these breakthroughs for interactive capabilities for creating social conscience in our social networks that would define a revolution, a global revolution in higher consciousness. And they're all being, you know, held back, but they're still matriculating the matrix, you might say, of reality very quickly. And
well, in fact, in my books, in the Syrian Revelations, the Council talk about the forces that still believe that the planet is theirs to rule.
Right.
Using the metaphor of the dike with the finger in the dike, and then plugging up another hole. And the truth is, they know they cannot stop the surge of human evolution and the rising of consciousness on this planet. But you know, they don't get to keep the power. So without demonizing the dark forces that much, to me it's just like they've had the power, they love the power, they're losing the power.
Yeah, the only power they really have is the power that the public gives them, and it's really interesting watching what's going on now with today or last night, Obama declaring a national emergency with vaccines. You know, I was the communications director for Dr. Len Horowitz right before 9/11, when he was just releasing his book, called Death in the Air, Global Terrorism, which was really prophetic. You know? So I'm doing news releases on this, and he's going on radio talk shows 2-3 times a day, just scaring the bejesus out of people regarding, you know, these portents. And the backlash was very tangible, because a lot of people couldn't hear, you know, the concept of, you know, this is really serious, what's going on with chemtrails and non-lethal warfare, which vaccines are. You know, they don't kill you outright, generally, but they, you know, usually whack the immune system and weaken the, you know, they kill brain cells and just weaken the system to where people, you know, basically are walking autism or Alzheimer's, pre-Alzheimer's or whatever, you know. Anyway, so it's big drama right now.
I wasn't aware that he declared that. I had been out of the news loop. That was yesterday?
That I was his communications director?
No, that Obama declared national emergency.
Oh, yeah, he declared this yesterday, that the flu is a national emergency. I just read it
so
today.
So are they going to have forced, are they putting the forced vaccines into play?
I don't know what they're going to do. They're trying to honor free will with the vaccines, but with national emergency, they may make it mandatory because if you don't take your vaccine, then you're a threat to people that you know, that have been vaccinated, supposedly. You know how that works. I did a whole article on this here about a month ago.
Yeah, it's very convenient.
Huh?
It's very convenient to the makers of the vaccines, don't you think?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're making a killing, literally.
Yeah, you got that right. And I, without naming names, I know that a certain ex-government official has some serious stock in the Tamiflu.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Rummy's been pulling all kinds of stuff like that.
It's really important. One of the most important things that we have to face right now is what we're going to do about this forced vaccination situation. I'm very, very, very concerned about this because, of course, when you start hearing about, everything was put into place before this came in. The Homeland Security, the declaration that they could quarantine. It was so clear that this was coming.
Well, this is
part of the Homeland Security program, that they could quarantine people. They could yank you out of your house. They could put you into quarantine areas, which, by the way, I'd like to know where these are and how people are being treated in them.
Well,
and this really smacks of Nazi Germany to me.
Well, that's what Horowitz, his whole story was. His books and his exposés explained how Prescott Bush and all these key people go back to IG Farben, you know, and Rockefeller's merger with IG Farben, which was the German drug chemical cartel right before World War II. How all of IG Farben's key officers became Hitler's key officers, and that the whole purpose of the Nazi, you know, thing in Germany was to basically enforce the drug chemical cartel in Europe, like Rockefeller really wanted to do, and pretty much had already done in the United States by proxy. So it's amazing when you, and of course, Horowitz explains all this extremely well. He's a brilliant scholastic academic, and, you know, his documentation with the paper trail on things like the creation and deployment of AIDS out of American biological warfare laboratories, which...
Yeah, I'm right up on that, too.
Yeah, so that
what we need to do as conscious representatives of alternative media and teachers is actually knowing that is probably not as important as helping people rise into rebellion against being guinea pigs or being forced to endanger their own bodies because this is being put into place. And so we are seeing a lot of countries rising up against this, and it's not going as easily for them as they thought it would.
Yeah, well,
people are tired of being terrified about everything that comes out of the government. So it is up to the people now. Enough of us refusing to take this vaccine can change this forced vaccination situation. But, of course, the more terrified people are, the more they push the next guy out of the way to line up to be one of the privileged that gets the first round of shots.
Yeah, and they're playing the whole thing with the scarcity of vaccines. They always play like marketing people play, you know, get them while they're hot, you know, get them while you can. And the whole thing is being orchestrated, and Horowitz is brilliant in explaining in mass media as well as mass medicine, you know, mass media, how it orchestrates the mass media's mass mind to basically pace and lead the sheeple, so to speak, people who really are not conscious of how they're not conscious. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the dynamic right now is really interesting. And of course, the key thing is how to build health rather than to treat disease. when I say treat disease, there's all kinds of stuff coming out. This last month, I've been really monitoring carefully everything on the internet that I can, you know, find about, you know, the real story, which is some brilliant stuff been coming out on the real story behind vaccines, as well as, you know, how to build health naturally. And there's a lot of stuff out there. There's extraordinary. I did several massive compendiums that I've sent out to my my news lists, and I'll have to get you a copy of the compendiums, because a lot of people, if they just knew better, they would do better. They just don't know, and they get most of their information from television, and television is, you know, the mainstream media is wholly owned subsidiary of the same people that own the Federal Reserve, Big Pharma, and
of course it is.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
And, you know, I'm watching the debates on television, although, as I said, I'm not up to date on the declaration that I've so feared was coming from the administration. And the media is having a hard time putting this over. People are not as blind. I would like to think that people are not as stupid as they believe we are, and that there is a new consciousness rising, and it's not going to be that easy for them to get away with the forced vaccination program. But man, to your listeners, what I would really like to drive home is this might be the most important decision you make in your life.
Yep, I agree. And I know a lot of people listening to the show, a lot of people that I know are in positions where they work for an employee that says you have to get your vaccines because you're working with people. And if you don't get your vaccines, we're going to have to let you go. Because we just can't take the risk, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So the whole thing is set up, and it's been set up, you might say, for a long time by those who really want to own and control the human and physical resources of the planet. Now, again, I'm going
Definitely.
Back to...
I agree with that. I mean, if you look back to the original Homeland material,
yeah.
Boom, bam, boom, this question of quarantine and... being able to confiscate your home and all of this poop that was coming out right at the beginning was in the original Homeland Security information. So in other words, even though supposedly they were worried about the terrorists and 911, they slipped all this information into the whole package. So
yeah, they were
back then that a plan was in the works, and here we are.
And the legislators weren't able to read, you know, all the fine, you know, the fine print. Before they voted on it, they voted out of a compelling fear that all their constituents had, you know, that America was in danger and that they had to support the Patriot Act or they weren't patriotic. And this is the same kind of tactics that was used with stealth legislation that was pre-written before the bailout of the bankers, by the bankers, and for the banksters, you know. And it's the same thing that's going on now with the flu stuff. I mean, and with the health care reform. The health care reform has been written by the insider, Big Pharma, you know, the stealth legislation that was, you know, basically the lobbyists have all this stuff in place. So then when they get another, and this is what we got now. We got another health care crisis being used to railroad through new legislation, which is really, above all, if you don't own your own body, then the government owns it, then we're talking about government control, not any freedom left at all. If you haven't got the freedom to own and control your own body, you know. So this is a big one. This is, and you have to kind of look at it with philosophic calm. I know that's really difficult, but it's like, unless you can and say that, okay, this is big drama. This is, you know, this is the final, the last gasp of insanity of the insiders whose time is short and fear is great and trying to make everyone as miserable as they are. I mean, I have to look at it that way. And that it is the judgment. It's a judgment for everyone either to take the vaccine and get along and go along with basically a toxic genetic poison injected into your body. Give me a break. I mean, you know. So, I mean, you have to look at it kind of philosophically, but at the same time, you know that a lot of people just are innocent, and they watch TV, and they get scared, and they want to take the shot just as soon as they can.
Yes, and one of the things that people should do before they roll up their sleeves is get on the Internet. I think I have on my blog as well, on SyrianRevelations.net, a list of the what's contained in this. Shot?
Oh, yeah.
And that's just what's being admitted to?
Yeah.
And the toxic levels of this these shots is just outrageous. Not to mention you're shooting a number of different raw viruses into your body.
Yeah, and there's a lot of...
I personally they're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming before I roll up my sleeve to do this. I'm not sure how this plays out.
I'm not sure how it's going to play out either. I know there is a big-time drama judgment for everyone involved. This is the test. I just did a piece called The Test That's Best. Testing, because it's a test for all souls. I mean, this is huge because basically, this is part of the phenomenon of the 2012 timeline, the synchronicity of all former testings with the challenge to freedom and opportunity and the golden rule and the golden age and all that, all the high end of freedom and opportunity. All those former tests are coming to a head because...
And I kind of think, in a certain way, they kind of pale in significance to this test. This is really the big one. It's
this
total
is the big
sovereignty
one.
Over your own being.
Yeah, if you don't own your own... That's right. If you don't own your own...
So, I mean, whereas you can fight for a cause, you can fight for the so-called paradigm of freedom that really we don't have. You can fight for an ideal, but man... You've got to fight now for your physical and mental and spiritual health. I mean, who knows what else they're going to inject? Some people are talking about nano chips being inserted into the bloodline. It's the famous 666 mark of the beast. Some people believe that what's going into these injections is the nano chip.
I have a whole article on that compendium I just sent out a month ago. And a month ago, I saw the direction this was going. And basically said, this is connect the dots, folks. This is where it's going. And this, when I say a month ago, it was self-evident to me then that the danger, it's like future memory. You can see if, but again, that's linear time. See, the amazing thing is with nonlinear time, all of this can be changed in a heartbeat. And there's a lot of things that can happen in just virtually overnight. To change this whole scenario. And of course, people that are hooked into, that hook with linear time, just go, basically, it's like a downward spiral with the power trips of the power elite where they see it going. But there's an upward spiral going on that is basically a fearless faith that can see how good things can be and enough good people waking up to the truth of, how bad things are and how good things can be where the free will choice factor just kicks in. In a collective shift.
I don't think that, I interrupt you here to say that I really do not believe that they're going to be able to put this in on a global level.
No.
Despite how clearly they've marketed this into position, I do not believe it's going to work for them.
You're right. Matter of fact, there's reports coming out, I read one from Sweden already, that different people that have been getting inoculated, the vaccines are causing the disease.
That's right. Well, that's the plan, isn't it?
That's the plan, but it's coming out, and people are realizing, my God, they've been injecting us with poison.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Earth to citizens.
So that's what I talk about, that basically the powers that be who are scared shiftless, that, basically continue to do what they've always done. This was their last, I really believe this was their last faux pas, you might say. I mean, they've really done it now to where people all over the world are now, waking up, finding the material, networking it around, saying, these guys are crazy.
What could happen? I mean, they can take away your passport. They can say they're going to quarantine you. But truthfully, despite the fact that there are all those camps, in America?
Yeah.
How are you going to put 275 million people in camps? They need a working force to keep things moving for them. So my proclamation, my hope to people is, stand up on your feet, recognize what's going on, refuse to bow down to this macabre plan. And think carefully before you run up there and get your shot, because I really think this is the greatest. I personally feel this is the greatest challenge before man.
Well, if you, I like to think of the camps, quote unquote, as an in the box linear. That's the archetype of the linear paradigm that you can box people's consciousness and you can box their bodies. The nonlinear paradigm says, sees right through that and sees right through what's going on now. And there's, I mean, it's reaching, it really is right there at critical mass where it's just light. It's just like point counterpoint right now. There's people all over the world going, this is really, they've done it now.
Well, in fact, you know what I mean? You know, when you hear it being discussed and the government saying, it's either, I mean, in Italy as well, they're talking about if you don't take the shot, you can be criminalized and put in jail. And I'm telling my readers and my audience, when a government says, if you don't take a shot, we're going to put you in jail, you need to pay serious attention here. The fact that they are talking about putting people in jail means this is one of the darkest enactments of power or misuse of power ever to occur, and they're scared to death.
That's it.
Why would they even talking to us about going to jail if they didn't realize there is an uprising happening?
It's the abject abuse of free will and power. In other words, our public servants who are supposed to serve us, it's an abject betrayal of the vow they made to serve the health and well-being of the public. It's just an abject betrayal.
Well, they didn't really make the vow. They said the words, but they didn't mean
them.
They said
the words, but what I'm saying
is the commercial, corporate, big pharma cartels that run the world, not even just the government. They run the world. So we human beings, we have a choice. I personally will have to be jailed before they stick that needle in my arm.
And I believe it.
I really do believe this is not going to work for them.
Well, it's the awareness of what they're doing and the awareness of the poisons and the live viruses that they are creating the virus. It's like this is their self-fulfilling prophecy. In the name of protecting us from a disease, they're creating it. So they're
The intention wasn't to protect us. The intention was to create it and spread it. Because I'd like to put out this thought to people, and that is that we are too many people on this planet. And these guys that are running the show, or they think they are, really believe that they've got to reduce the population of the human race to half its size.
And
there may be some completely misguided intention that they might think they're doing what needs to be done on a planetary scale.
And it goes back to when John D. Rockefeller, created Big Oil and then took his profits to create Big Pharma. He created the medical industrial complex, just as him and his cronies created the privately owned Federal Reserve banking system, which is neither federal nor has any reserves.
Other than that, it's a great system.
and so they've created this system, and the whole medical industrial complex from the beginning has suppressed all these breakthroughs like Royal Raymond's Rife, energy medicine, energy cures, ultramolecular medicine. They've suppressed all it. Millions of people in the United States have died because of their drugs per symptom allopathic medicine that basically compounds the disease in the body with systemic toxicity from the drugs, whether chemotherapy or the other drugs that they use. And so it's not surprising that it would get to this point when they're starting to lose control of all of their institutions of big oil and big pharma and big media and big banking, that they would try to create some crisis for a totalitarian takeover with a new world odor that stinks to high heaven.
Well, again, referring back to the books of the Syrian Revelations, the Council have been talking about this for when I first brought those books through was 1998.
Yeah.
And all of the mechanisms that will be used against the human race to for reasons that are very detailed in those works, to try to cling to ownership. They believe they own this planet,
yeah.
And they don't. And what I really want to bring home to people is don't underestimate the power of the human spirit. We have had our dark moments. We have had our anesthetized moments. But the fact, I'd like to maybe leave this thought with you, the fact that they are really performing these utterly despicable acts is their own undoing. The more they turn the screw, the more we wake up.
Yeah, the more they try to centralize power and control in a pyramid of power with them in the capstone, the more the decentralization of consciousness through all these social networks and Twitter and blogs and radio talk shows, people all over are networking for the net worth of a new net reality that says, hey, you know, it's our world, our life, you know, we own it, and we're responsible for basically changing the system from a downward spiral to an upward spiral.
And again, it's like a finger in the dike. They try to put out, you know, that hole of human consciousness flowing through, and then another one breaks out over there and over there. And no matter how tightly they turn those screws, they can't stop us. As long as we stay out of fear, off of our knees, clearly aware that we are the ultimate. Well, I'm going to give you an example that I think is very prophetic. There was that beautiful movie of Gandhi.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a scene in Gandhi where the British police or soldiers are trying to put down the resistance, and Gandhi is in his rags, and they've beaten him to a pulp. And the Indians around him are saying, give up. You know, we can't beat them. And he looks at them, and he says, they can break my back. They can break my bones, but they cannot break my spirit. And he reaches up with a bloody hand, and he puts his ID card, he was rebelling against that. He puts it on the flame.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, talk about a moment that speaks to the power of the human spirit.
And that's the moment I really believe that collective humanity is coming to in a global sense of itself, just like the American people came to that point of revolution, you know, the 233 years ago, and with common sense. There's a new common sense matriculating the matrix, and it's a global phenomena, and it really we've seen it rise up, you know, in the 2 million man marches all over the world, you know, with regarding the Iraqi invasion, and ever since then this momentum has become a new grassroots or net roots. It's like a new net reality in the net roots. And it's completely decentralized. It's nonlinear. There's no stopping it. And it's accelerating on the 2012 timeline.
Right.
And basically,
well, I think it's really important to also tell people to get to their Congress people, write letters. I refuse to be inoculated. I refuse to accept this deceitful paradigm, this deceitful plan, and just keep the pressure on these guys.
Yeah, and by God's grace in God's time, there will be a global awakening, quickening, revolution, evolution in higher consciousness, and hopefully it's going to be sooner now than later.
It's happening now. It's happening now. We're in it. We are in 2012, and all we have to do is stay focused and work on fear and look at these illusions that are being cast over us and recognize that, like Gandhi, they can break your bones, they can break your house, but they cannot break your spirit. And that is the strength and the power of being alive at this time.
Yeah, and I'd like to, we have to wrap it up here in a minute. I'd kind of like to wrap it up with a thought form. For this process, when I reference this assembling the components to the capstone, the five-dimensional capstone, it's good to remember that George Washington was a 30-degree Mason, and back when it still meant the 33rd degree was the capstone degree of Christhood. And most people don't know that 52 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were either Masons or Rosicrucians, both in those days being the social networks which embraced the mysteries of God as geometrized in the Great Pyramid and the sacred cathedrals of Europe and you know, sacred geometry. And thanks to their founding principles, which they coded on the Great Seal of the U.S., the people of the United States thrived with material abundance that made them eventually materialistic and secularized to the point of forgetting the whole point of spiritual underpinnings that made America winning from the beginning. So the heart of that winning spirit has always been pure intention. God's will manifest a social conscience and love for all. The vision for winning from the beginning has always been God vision, gathering the tribes of all that is real in God, love, divine destiny of Earth's evolutions. And now that's a global phenomena with the instant, everywhere, interactive common sense of the I am race, which the I am race is the coded word for America. The founding fathers, that was an anagram that they used. America was the I am race. And it wasn't just America, it was global. It was those who are the capstone contingency who have the vision of virtue for the victory of what they didn't call fifth dimensional consciousness, but that's what we're talking about now going global. So anyway, that's just kind of a thought form, the capstone, assembling the components to the capstone for the three dimensions in each of the quadrants and the four quadrants then in the being assembled in the capstone, which is the fifth dimension. So anyway, I hope you have a wonderful event there through tonight. I guess you got to get ready for it. So I guess we got to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia, thank you so much. For those who are listening, having a chance to read her new book, it's going to be out shortly. I guess you can go to Amazon.com and pre-order the book.
Yeah, the name of the book is Where Pharaohs Dwell, One Mystic's Journey Through the Gates of Immortality. And it's available on Amazon now in pre-sale. And I would ask anyone that's interested in reading this book to grab it, because it looks like they're going to run out of copies before it even comes to print. It comes out for sale. So let me know what you think of it when you get through the book.
Oh, Patricia, thank you so much for being on the show today. And
thank you too, Christopher.
We'll do it again sometime, perhaps.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Take care, and my love to all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love. And the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, now, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue, we must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.